Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, a Spanish teacher.
And this is a show about technology and education, and as much as possible where they overlap.
You can check out links to things that we talk about in the show notes that will be posted at thetechteachers.blogspot.com. And also email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
And this is show 83.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about the things that we are using for school and in our classroom as our classes have begun. And
well, yours haven't. Mine have.
My freshman came already.
Okay. So your real first day, though, is tomorrow.
Yeah, well, thank you. We must be extremely precise, apparently. And then some miscellaneous tech items we'll be talking about. And then also something a listener had mentioned to us that we'd like to bring up.
A topic that we promised and we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Yes.
All right, so let's go ahead and bring people a little bit up to speed.
First, though, I'd like to thank people for using the Amazon search box to the right of our blog.
Yes, that helps support us, and we appreciate those of you that are doing it. And keep doing it.
Yes.
That's great.
Much appreciated.
Yes,
thank
very
you.
Much appreciated. Thank you. Also, there is a donate button below that if you want to make a PayPal donation. And also on the right there's stories that I've dug. And links to like my Twitter profile, which we'll talk more about later, and some other stuff.
You even put up a poll.
Put up a poll on the iPhone. Whether or not you want to meet Ray, if you wanted me to talk about iPhone apps. And so far, there is a slight lead to yes, people want to hear about iPhone apps. But I think only 10 people have voted. So.
And there's far more people than that listening.
Yes, there's thousands of you listening. So if you have a strong preference on that one way or the other, go ahead and vote. There's a yes, a no, and then a yes with a condition, a no with a condition, and then I'll just skip it. Right. So no one has said they'll just skip it yet. Okay. It's an MP3. So
So they'll leave it up a little bit longer, and then maybe we'll change
the
poll.
Leave it up a little bit. I put it up. We didn't say we're putting it up, so nobody knew it was there.
So. Well, we've been enjoying the Olympics. I hope everybody's gotten a chance to watch some of those. There's so many events, so it's hard to catch.
And
everything. Also,
NBCOlympics.com has some stuff that's not on TV on their broadcast there, but there's not usually any commentary. But
have you
I've done
that
it.
Out a
Yes,
lot,
you or? Have to install Silverlight. And if you have a PowerPC Mac, you're out of luck. If you have an Intel Mac, you can do it. I've watched a little bit of it. Mainly, I've been watching the stuff that's the televised swimming stuff. Yeah.
Right.
I watched a little bit. I watched one of the German basketball games live as opposed to on tape delay. But otherwise, not so much. But you can even watch the stuff that was on broadcast once it's broadcast on there.
Yeah.
So if you miss something and you don't have a DVR, you didn't have the DVR on, it's an option.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. We've also gotten to play a couple of video games that have just come out. And just to keep you up to speed with what your kids might be playing on their game consoles.
Unreal Tournament 3 came out for Xbox 360. It's a first-person shooter. It's not nearly as good as the version on the PC. I didn't care for the frame rate. I'd rather just play even the old one. Also, Soul Calibur 4 came out. Excellent game. But
it's a fighting game.
It's a fighting game,
which I enjoy.
Yeah, but it's more of a rental unless you're really into achievements and unlocking characters and you're really into fighting games. Unless
so
you're diehard fighting.
Expensive for what it is.
Yes, exactly. It's the same game we've been playing since the Sega Dreamcast.
Right.
In fact, I think maybe
but you
the
can
original.
Play as Yoda.
Yeah, so you can play as Yoda, which is cool. But I think gameplay wise, the original may still be better. But, you know, there's better graphics and different characters and options and stuff. But
right.
It's an update of Soul Calibur 3, which was really an update of Soul Calibur 2, which was really an update of Soul Calibur 1. Enough on that.
Yes. Okay. So let's just jump into things that we're using for school and in our classroom. Since
some first day stuff, maybe.
Right.
Some stuff you might want to get figured out or use within the first week or two.
Or thereafter. Mine that I'm going to talk about. Mine
can use all year long, too. Okay. Just you'd want to think about it before you got too far into the semester.
All right. Now, the first thing, I'll go ahead and start us off here.
And I've never used
Ray
this.
Ray has never used this, so he does not endorse. I do.
No. I haven't tried it yet.
You haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. You may endorse. It is called Zamzar, and it is a free online file conversion site. So, for instance, there were some YouTube videos that were going to be great for me to be using in the classroom this year, and I just went to zamzar.com, and you can do either a file or put in the URL of the file, And it'll convert that for you into a lot of different file types.
And we've talked about some programs that do this before, but if you can't install programs at school,
I didn't want to install a program.
Then this is a great option.
Right. And I did not want to install a program. I'm getting a little bit tired. We're a little weary of that on a PC because it just seems to make it run slower eventually.
Windows doesn't like programs.
Okay, well, and in case, what you have to do, though, if you do the free version through Zamzar, you do have to wait a 24-hour, or you do have to wait about a day or so. And they'll email you a link to the file, and then you only have 24 hours to retrieve the file before that link no longer works. So that was fine with me because it was free and I didn't have to download a program.
Yeah.
And it worked just fine. You know, the quality was acceptable for using it in the classroom.
Okay.
So I would recommend
it. Sounds
that.
Like it could be very useful for people that have locked down on their computers at school and they see something at school that they want to get it.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah. Very good.
Also, let's talk about Delicious.
Oh,
we've mentioned several times
in
the past.
However, it's got a facelift. Delicious no longer looks like it's from 1999. It now looks like it is from this year.
I never liked the looks of it.
It was ugly. Yes. It was so ugly, but
very
functional.
Very useful.
Yes. And it's still owned by Yahoo.
Let's say what it does now, just in case anybody's...
Social bookmarking site. So very simply, if you sign up with an account, and it's owned by Yahoo, so if you have a Yahoo ID, you can use that. And you actually make a favorite that says, add this to Delicious. So then you see a website that you want. Maybe it's MIT OpenCourseWare. And you click the little favorite in your bookmarks. You click the little add to Delicious. Pops up a window, has the link, the name of the site, and then it has all these tags, these words separated by spaces that you can click on that it recommends. So it might be science, physics, MIT, or you can type in your own. And then this goes on to the site online, and you get basically a big, long list of links that have a bunch of tags on them. And you can search by tag, and that's where the power comes in.
Right.
And you can also see other people that have bookmarked it and see what else they have bookmarked. Probably the easiest way to see what this is all about is just go to our blog and look at my Delicious links for physics class.
Right.
And I use it with my students so that they can, if they remember, there was something that had to do with sound that we used in class, they don't remember the link. They go to delicious.com, and now it actually is delicious.com. It's no longer that big, horrible address. That's the other big change. So it's easier to remember. And then they go /physics class, and they'll see, you know, the tags. They can click on the tag sound, and then, there it'll be.
Right. I used to use that with my students, but it then became blocked. And also the school I'm working at right now has blocked it as well.
Requested to be unblocked.
They said they won't be unblocking that site as of now. So.
Yeah, talk to somebody. Find a person to talk to about it. And
I
if
did.
They don't listen, then
I
talk
did.
To your administrators.
It's not that big of an issue. There
are
bigger fish to fry for me. Okay. So, but my school district, actually, I moved to a new school district this year. Very progressive with technology so far, I've noticed. So I'm excited. I have a widescreen and an LCD projector in my classroom, all of that.
I'm getting a 90 MP3 players for my physics class.
Yes, very good.
So that's big news for me, and I will be reporting back on how I use that in a non-AP course. So
yeah. Okay. Let's
you
go
say
on.
What you had, so I was just throwing in there that like that's a pretty big deal.
Let's
so.
Go on to the next thing.
Okay.
What's Pandora.
Oh, Pandora.
It's right in front of you.
I can't see. It's dark.
Yes.
I'm at an angle.
No, it seems like
Do
a
you
lot.
You explain what it is?
It seems like a lot of people already know about Pandora.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That we've
or Last FM.
That we've mentioned it to. But if you go to this website, pandora.com, and you type in a song
or an artist
or an album, and what it'll do is it creates what they call a separate station for that song. And the songs that will be played that are like that
or
song.
Artist, or right. similar to that artist.
Right.
And I use this in the classroom until they turn the filter on, which I'm going to have it unblocked. It's like everything else that I use to motivate them to get to class. I'm like, whoever gets here first gets to pick the genre or the, you know, what the music's going to be playing for the first couple minutes during the opener. Whoever's sitting down in their seat, got the opener up, they get to pick it.
So then they might yell out "Death Cab for Cutie," who's with that's a band, and then you type that in. And
or the
then,
Beatles.
Okay, so
we
had
requests for Beatles. We had
requests
for Bare Naked Ladies. We
right.
had a request for Guster.
So then that would play a song by the Beatles would play, and then
something like that
would play.
Maybe by
after
the Beatles.
That,
maybe by somebody else.
After that, now you can skip pass the song if you don't like it. But you only get, what, 6 skips per hour?
Which isn't a problem. I've never, for per station. Also, we should mention that the iPhone app, Pandora, awesome. Love it. Last.fm is also good. I prefer the Pandora. But if you don't have Pandora on your iPhone, you need to get it. It's nice. So, and if the school continues to block Pandora even after I request it and give them the reasons, I don't think that'll happen. I could always use the iPhone.
Yeah. I tested it out with some artists that are Spanish speakers.
And it worked, right?
It did work. However, they had to be pretty mainstream Spanish speaking.
Yeah, it doesn't
artists.
Have everything.
No, but I noticed that they had some more alternative people for the English speaking artists.
Also, we should probably mention that there are explicit lyrics at times. So just keep an ear out or an eyeball out when the song pops up. See if it says explicit on it.
Right.
So.
I don't think Pandora worked very well on your iPhone, I have to be honest.
We're
because
fine.
It drops off all the time. It'll drop
We were playing it this morning.
It drops songs and
how many?
Oh, at least 3 times this morning.
Out of like 40 songs. So
I
it's
would
not,
say
Holly it is exaggerating
I am
the
not
amount
exaggerating.
Of skips. It's not that bad.
Yes,
it's
it
really
is.
Not.
On the iPhone it is.
It's really not that bad.
Okay, well.
It's also, you got to remember the App Store just launched. It hasn't been that long. It's for something that's free. The fact that they're not charging for that app, it's awesome. I'm sorry, okay. It's awesome. Yeah. Last.fm has less in regards of skipping, but it takes longer for it to stream the music between songs. So Pandora starts right away, but occasionally it does have a hiccup. Last.fm is a little bit more consistent, but it doesn't start right away, which is really annoying.
So Ray is more happy with it than I am on the iPhone.
But you don't. It's not your iPhone.
No, it's not.
Okay,
that's fine. You can use it if you want. I'm just saying it's a little frustrating when you like a song and then 20 seconds later it just passes.
Oh,
when you buy
and your mileage may vary on that. That could be any number of things that I've done to my iPhone. So
right.
Yeah, and I have not the 3G iPhone. I have the previous one.
Well, certainly, if you have an iPhone, try it out.
Yes, try it out.
See if it's acceptable for you. But.
Yes, I think it will be.
Okay.
it is on my bottom screen. I like it so much.
Right.
So
we're going to move on to Ray's new obsession. He plays He plays around with this constantly, day and night.
Well, you can thank the listeners because I had given up on it, and we got a couple emails about telling me to do it again, and sure enough,
we have
I'm
mentioned this
now.
Before. It's called Twitter.
And we both kind of were down on it.
Right. Let us first describe what Twitter is. What do you?
You
what would
explain
you say?
It. I explained the other Pandora.
Well, you're the user of Twitter, I'd say, in our household.
But you can explain it. Give it a shot.
From what I see, which I'm not necessarily a user of it. I've checked it out a couple times, but people post little random comments about maybe where they are, what they're doing, and you can follow different
or
people.
Links or pictures.
Right. You can follow people like Ray is following some people in the tech world that. He knows of other podcasts we watch, and then they'll say what they're doing. And this is a way that Ray has used to find out new things that are going on, new places to go, new programs to try, new sites, that sort of thing.
I don't use it too much as a back and forth communication like some people do, but I am using it as another resource. And I love it.
And
it was the way I found out that the 2.0.1 update was available, like, within 2 minutes. For the iPhone. I was sitting by the pool. I'm like, oh, you know, someone's like, it's coming out in 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden there were, like, 5 tweets. Oh, it's out. So it was kind of that real-time thing. Like, with the Olympics, it's been kind of fun because you see what other people
Ray
think about the
really
Olympics.
Ray gets really excited if something new is happening in the moment.
But I enjoy it.
It's kind of fun to watch him.
I enjoy it. Obviously, it's a networking tool. I've discovered some interesting blogs from this, and I've also searched for a lot of teachers, and I've added following a lot of teachers, and I've got some teachers following me. So it's a great way to share resources, share information, and then just, you know, the fun aspect of it as well. And I just didn't get it until I started really using it. And I think the killer thing is that on my computer, but on my iPhone, that's when I really got it. I could be anywhere and kind of keeping up with what was going on. So I like that.
Okay, and it works with
There's lots of programs on the iPhone. I started off with something called Twitterific, which I still use for my school account, which we'll talk about in a minute. But my favorite is Twinkle because, you know, it does the basic stuff I want, and then it also allows me to see people that are tweeting via Twinkle near me.
Now, this is what I don't understand. What's
tweeting
the difference
is like
between Twitter and Twitter and Twinkle?
Okay, Twitter.com is the website. And then all these other programs are accessing the information on Twitter.com and presenting it to you.
Why don't you just go to the website?
Because
on your iPhone?
On my iPhone, because the app is way faster.
Okay.
App is way faster because it's just getting just that little bit of text information
app
that it
needs. App
stands
for application.
Application,
by the way.
Yes. the applications are way, way, way faster and more convenient, and you don't have – it's already got your login and everything else. I would definitely recommend not using the web page when you're on your iPhone. So.
What's Twirl?
And then even Twirl. Twirl is actually an application that my favorite on the Mac. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually using Twirl, and I think it runs on Windows as well. Twirl. We'll put links to all of these in the show notes. That's the one I use actually on my computer. Also on the iPhone, I do use, what's the other one? I'm trying to find it here. Can't find it. What's it called? I don't remember. I think it's called Twitilator. That's the one I use for when I want to search for something on my iPhone. But that one's got way too many options and it's a little bit slower. So only when I need to find something. Because you can search everybody's public tweets. So if you're looking for what people are saying about, you know, Michael Phelps, you can search Michael Phelps and you'll see all these messages pop up.
A tweet is a message that somebody writes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's like an instant message or, you know, or an email. You know, that's what you're posting, the tweet. That's the thing going out there.
Now let's talk about how you are now using this in your classroom.
Yes. And this is where it's probably much more relevant for our audience.
Right. Now he's set up a separate account that's not his personal account.
Yes. So definitely not my personal account.
You don't want to have them following your personal account.
No, no, no. I mean, there's nothing bad up there, but at the same time, that's not appropriate. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody followed me there and I didn't know it was a student, no big deal, but you don't want to make 90 kids start to follow you. That's not a good idea. So I created a separate account, and it's for posting for homeworks. So I used to use Blogger, but I found that I wasn't really doing a whole lot with the comments or the extra links and stuff, and I wasn't putting up, it was homework, and that was about it.
Right.
So with Twitter, now on my iPhone or my computer, I can quickly post an assignment, okay? Now, that part, you're thinking, okay, I can do that with Blogspot or Blogger, whatever you want to call it. No problem. Here's where it gets neat. The kids can, and you don't see this information, the kids can add their cell phone number. And then whenever you tweet, whenever you post something to Twitter, they can choose to have it sent to their phone automatically right away as a text message.
And so they don't have to go out and check your homework blog. They
it comes
it
to them.
Comes to them. Yes. Which... That's they, excellent.
Yes,
I think.
And they always are checking their text messages.
Right.
You know, so there's no way it comes to them. That's the key thing. It's right in front of their face on their phone, and they're going to have to check it to see what that. Oh, what's that text? And then read it.
And you explain to them on the first day, hey, listen, there could be some text messaging fees that apply. So you need to talk with your family
put it on the syllabus.
About if this is okay. For you to do this.
Also, I checked with my administration just to make sure it was okay, and they said, mm-hmm. yes, go ahead and do it. And then I got some other teachers interested in it. They might be doing it eventually.
Right.
Certainly one of them is going to do it for one of their clubs so that they can send one message. And this is the key thing. 90 kids, one time I sent a message, one message goes out to 90 people. If they all have their phones turned on, that feature turned on for their phones, boom, they get it. Also, Twitter's completely free. And it doesn't ask for a lot of information beyond an email and a username, and that's it.
So
the phone is optional, too. The phone is optional.
So the students aren't giving their personal information to a website?
No.
Beyond just email?
And you can, it's easy if, a student starts posting inappropriate things or whatever, you can block them. You could also make your profile private. So once they're blocked and your profile is private, they've lost the rights to use Twitter. They're going to have to do homework the old-fashioned way.
Right.
So if they abuse it, you can shut them out.
And some students may not have a cell phone, but they can still... Check it like a blog. Now, if they don't have internet access, obviously they wouldn't be able to, but...
But that was the case with Blogger anyway.
Right.
I mean, I still tell the assignment in class.
Right.
Yeah.
This is just a nice little reminder. Hey,
yes, and it's and it's a good way for students when they're absent, when they come back, I've told them now, don't even bother asking me for homework problems. There's computers in the back of the room. And you can go look there. You can ask somebody else, et cetera. It's on your phone, wherever. There's so many different ways to get it now in my room and outside of my room that it's no longer my job to ever tell them the homework problem. So,
what do your students think?
Some of them seem to be very excited. There have been multiple people that have posted pictures to their profile and have already changed it and have sent out a few little tweets like, I'm in physics right now, the first time when I said they could get out their cell phone and do it. And there was a tweet over the weekend. Somebody said they were doing their physics homework. And if they're following each other, this is a way students could communicate back and forth as well.
Right.
So, but they have to get someone's messages, you have to be following them.
So if nothing else, it's brand new to them, and so they're really enjoying and getting involved in using Twitter.
Yes. Yep.
Excellent.
And I will report back if there are any issues or anything like that. It's, you know, it's like anything else. Maybe I missed something that bad that's going to happen, but not yet.
Right.
So.
Yes. We'll see. I think it sounds like a wonderful idea.
And there was I think there was a teacher that said that they were doing this, email it to us as well for one of their classes or was planning on it. So thank you. For those of you that said I should recheck out Twitter, thank you.
Right.
And Holly is probably very unhappy about that.
No, it's just you now have all these different dings going off all day and night. It's like when you get new tweets, I guess you call them.
Yes.
It's just ding, but then there's like five different tones.
Well, yeah, and I'm also using Pounce as well, another similar type idea. The Pounce app on the iPhone is good as well. The bugs have been worked out of it. It's more reliable.
You're addicted. I keep waiting for you to fall out of love with it, but
you hasn't happened yet.
No.
And even if I do stop using it a lot personally or like on my iPhone, certainly still the fact that I can remember the homework assignment while I'm sitting in a red light, quickly post it, or when I get home, I don't have to log into my computer and log into Blogger and switch over to my school account and all that, because I have more than one Twitter application on my phone. So I can always do it from my phone no matter where I'm at, and that is really a killer app for me.
Cool, yeah. Okay, let's move on to a few miscellaneous tech items. One, the first I wanted to start with actually has to do with
Twitter.com/PSharkR. That's my personal one.
That's your personal
Twitter. So you can go ahead and add me. Yeah.
Okay. Ray created an image of himself with a program, and is that on your Twitter?
That's on your I posted it to Twitter as a picture of an image, but I'm using the profile, the image that I made for my school one.
Okay.
That made sense.
So it's an avatar creator. Now, what is an avatar?
Okay, so a visual representation of you for the online world.
It's like a cartoon image?
Sometimes it's cartoon, sometimes it's CGI. You know, whatever. Like when people are in Second Life, they call their character their avatar.
Oh, I had never heard of this terminology.
Oh, really?
That's brand new to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll put a link to, because my definition might stink. We'll put a link to Wikipedia avatar as well in the show notes.
Well, anyway, you found this website that does this for free and...
And it's pretty basic. Think like creating a, if you've created a me on the Wii, that's an avatar. That's what an avatar is. And it's not as sophisticated as some other ones I've seen for video games. But because it's free and online, and it makes it that nice little size for all these social services like Twitter and Pounce and, you know, Facebook and whatever, it makes it in the size that is appropriate for those profile pics. It's all of a sudden it caught fire, and like all of a sudden half the people on Twitter have one of these little pictures.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, it's the website's kind of funny looking, so I will go ahead and post that on the show notes. Yeah.
But it's, you know, cartoon character, kind of Japanese style looking.
Anime
type. A little bit. And you get to pick your hair color and your face shape and your eyeballs and all that. Well, and hopefully they'll add some more options to it.
Are you going to tell your students about it so they can make theirs?
Yes, I already posted it to the Delicious for students. I will warn you, there is, I've already told students they can't post any inappropriate pictures either. There is options to like have your middle finger sticking up and some other, some other not so school appropriate things. Yeah. But I did post a link to it and said, hey, you could use this to make your picture. But they already know to put anything up that's not to put anything up that's inappropriate.
Right.
So.
Right.
I have not seen anybody do that with their profile yet on Twitter though. So.
Okay.
Of all the ones that have switched over. So.
Right. All right. So next up.
And you saw it. Did it look anything like me? Not as much as my me.
Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah.
He looked a little bit more scraggly in the facial hair. And
yeah, well, they didn't have the correct goatee.
He kind of looked like a bum, to be honest.
Oh!
Like he didn't have a job.
Oh! I had a tie on in my picture.
Well, it looked like somebody just dressed him up in that.
Oh! I look like a bum.
Yeah.
That's not good. I got to change that picture now. I look like a bum.
Sorry.
All right. Well, what's up next?
Okay. Next, NetShare.
Oh, there's a bit of a controversy. And unless you are constantly reading Apple blogs, you probably missed it. Yes, you probably missed it. But this is kind of a big deal, okay? Apple has been making some apps disappear without explanation to the public or to the developer. And then sometimes they come back and then disappear again, okay? Now, some of these have gotten corrected, but one of them that disappeared once, came back, disappeared again, and has not come back since is called NetShare. And I'm really thinking that AT&T just doesn't get it. NetShare allows you to, and I have NetShare. I was the second time it came out, I quickly downloaded it, and it was like $10. Yeah, it was like $10 or whatever. Mm-hmm. The only apps I bought are that and Comic Touch, which I enjoy Comic Touch, but it has some issues, but I like it. What NetShare does is allows you to wirelessly, I don't want to say tether, because I don't know if it's not technically tethering the way technically it's being done, but it does allow you to connect wirelessly, I think it's via an ad hoc network, your laptop, your MacBook, and your iPhone. And then you can use the internet connection on the iPhone and route that traffic to your laptop. So you can basically use your laptop to browse the web via the iPhone.
Right.
And I think they took it down because AT&T, usually for something close to this technically that is called tethering, they charge money for it on, you know, usually. But I just don't think AT&T just doesn't get it. If they want to make more and more people buy iPhones, they need to let this kind of stuff happen. So I love NetShare. It comes in handy every once in a while. If you don't have if you're a person that's got a wireless card for your computer, you don't need this. But otherwise, it's good. But boo on AT&T. I'm learning to hate AT&T more and more and more. Soon as I can jailbreak and unlock, you can already jailbreak the new iPhones. As soon as I'm able to unlock my iPhone, I'll probably be switching over to T-Mobile, where they're very, very customer friendly.
So, okay.
All right.
All right. You also have an iTunes tip for people.
Oh, yes. As a school year starts, sometimes I like to have two separate music libraries for my MacBook. And if you hold down Option, is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Hold down Option while you're opening iTunes, you can have more than one library. You might say, why the heck do I want to do this? Well, one reason for me is I like to keep my podcasts separate from my music. And then the other reason is I like to keep school music separate from home music and podcasts. And so you can have different databases, basically, and different playlists and all that. So,
okay,
that's good. It.
All right.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. I learned.
There
Thank you.
Go.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about something a little negative now. Priceline.
Oh, which we've recommended so wholeheartedly.
Recommended Priceline before, and that is a site where you can bid on a hotel room, and if you bid a certain number, then they'll give you a hotel room. You don't know which one it is. You can choose the level of stars that you want, that sort of thing.
And we still recommend it as long as you are sitting at a high-speed internet connection.
We were using Ray's iPhone on the road.
Yes.
To try and make a reservation through Priceline. And when I clicked buy my hotel, which is the last button you click before it actually puts your bid in,
Server stopped responding.
Yes, their server stopped responding and a blank white screen came up. And I attempted to retrieve, refresh the page and all that.
It didn't
work. We were not able to.
So we assumed we didn't have a hotel, which was maybe a bad assumption. Mm-hmm. And when we got...
We tried to even look up their customer service number.
But then we were starting to have connection, we were getting...
Connection issues,
Yeah. So, but when we were doing that, we had a good connection. And I think... or when we got back, we found out that we actually were charged for hotel rooms despite us not staying there. And we had a very difficult time with their customer service. Their customer service is horrible. However, because they are powerless is the problem. They're powerless. They have no power to refund money ever. So we actually had to email somebody
higher up
in management. I mean, not even customer service. Like, this was investor relations management, people that deal with press, et cetera. And eventually they did take care of it. However, we were on the phone for a very long time, and it was a very difficult process. And we had just purchased – it's not like we were newbies. We had just purchased like 4 or 5 nights with them like a week earlier.
Look at
hundreds
the history
of
our account. We've spent hundreds of dollars.
A lot of money.
Through
lot
their
of money.
Service, yes.
Yes. And we said you can check with the hotel. We didn't stay there. We can give you the hotel where we did stay. Why would we go to a lesser hotel for the same price than what we – supposedly got? Because I can see how they would want to make it a little bit difficult to keep people from scamming and scamming the system, but we were more than willing to provide them with proof that we stayed somewhere else that same night in that same area at a lesser brand for the same, basically the same price, to show them. And that was not good enough. We explained to them what happened while we were on the road, etc., and how we were longtime customers, and none of that was any good for the for their customer service. So just a word of caution. My advice would be not to use it unless you're somewhere on an iPhone with Wi-Fi, not even 3G. I wouldn't even trust a 3G. I would have Wi-Fi, and I might not even do it from an iPhone. I would probably want to do it from a computer with high speed.
Yes, and they did give us our money back. It was just a hassle.
A huge, stressful hassle. Yeah.
Just a word of caution, since we have recommended that in the past,
yep. So if you're on the go and you're doing it on your phone, be careful.
All right.
Or don't do it would be my advice.
Something positive now.
Okay. Up and down.
Dr. Horrible.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Okay.
This has been around for a little while, since the summer.
We've been hearing references to Dr. Horrible.
And I've been hearing a lot of it on Twitter and seeing people following Dr. Horrible
on
Twitter.
And on podcasts that we watch, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Dr. Horrible was created or written by...
Partially by Josh Whedon.
Josh Whedon and his brother, wasn't
it? Yeah, and some other people. And Josh Whedon was responsible for Serenity, Firefly... not a fan of this next one, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
not a fan either.
Yeah, not a fan of that one. But it was amazing.
So they kind of write offbeat types of...
And this is probably, this isn't something you want to show to a middle schooler. And certainly you don't want to show this to your high school class even because of some of the comments.
Right.
But it is...
Just for your own personal
enjoyment. And I'm sure high schoolers watch it. I have no doubt this is probably extremely popular among high schoolers
that have found it. Some big name actors like
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes,
it had the guy from Serenity. I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either.
that's horrible. But the guy from Firefly, the main guy, uh-huh. And it had Felicia Day, mm-hmm. and I don't know who else. Some other comedian that was kind of famous.
Right.
And the production values are extremely good. Don't buy it on iTunes. You don't have to buy it on iTunes. Go to Hulu, HULU.com, and search
for free.
And it's pretty high quality on there, too, probably higher than it is on iTunes. And search for Dr. Horrible.
How long was it, like an hour?
There are three acts. There are three acts, and I would recommend at least, even if you don't like the first half of the first act, watch the whole first act and then a little bit of the second, and I guarantee you're hooked. And I hate musicals, and I love this.
Now he's singing all the time.
Hey!
He wanted to sing the show today.
No, I did not.
No, he didn't.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No. But it's a comedy. It's funny. The songs are catchy. It's not all singing the whole time. And it's definitely different.
It's very amusing, I'd say.
Have you ever... The closest thing I can think to of it, I guess there was a Buffy episode that was like that where they were singing. The Simpsons, when they occasionally break into song, that's the closest thing it felt like to me, except with live actors, and actually way better.
Yeah.
So.
You do sing now, though. More.
You sing as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Next up.
All right.
Moving on.
Okay. So finally, let's talk about the idea... or topic that a listener emailed us about. He's actually a technology teacher.
And he thinks that technology should not be a separate class?
No, this is what happened. His position was eliminated. They said that technology should not be a separate subject that's taught.
Oh, I didn't pay very close
and
attention.
And that the teachers should be using the technology in their classroom instruction, so that therefore there was no need for a separate technology course. I think that's an interesting topic, and I'd kind of like to hear what you have to say.
I feel extremely strongly that you do need certain topics to be taught separately, and I think some basic tech stuff is one of them. Also, the issue comes into play. If you don't have at least one teacher that knows a lot about tech in the building where that's their job, there might not be anybody, especially if you're in a smaller school. Mm-hmm. So I would think that if it's not taught, it's going to be very difficult, especially, when I look at like the faculty that we have, I can't see teaching technology being a top priority.
Right.
Okay. Because that does not immediately impact like test scores or performance in their class. Okay. It's obviously something that's important that students know how to do this, but I think it'll get overlooked. I think you do need some sort of separate class where they can get their basic word processing, Excel, et cetera, skills, the stuff that hasn't changed in 20 years, Now, and then the cutting edge stuff, I don't know where that comes into play, but certainly the basic set, and I think that should actually happen at the middle school level.
Yes, and a lot of middle schools do have that. I'm not sure if this listener was middle school or high school. But
yeah, but I think there needs to be a separate course because otherwise it's not going to get taught. You know, it's not going to get taught. That's just my opinion. Now, it depends on, you know, if you have a staff that's, you know, been there a long time and your administration has really low turnover and you have some support person for tech that's coming into every classroom and showing them how to use it, all the teachers how to use it, et cetera. I mean, if that kind of thing exists, maybe not. But my guess is that 95% of schools, that's not going to happen.
Right. That's just an extra bonus if the teacher uses that in the classroom. I don't even think that, you know, the administration necessarily would care either way.
And I have nothing to back up whether or not which one's a better idea. This is just personal opinion. I mean,
well, also, I know my mother is an elementary technology teacher, and a lot of those kids don't have computers at home in the school that she teaches at.
Yeah.
And so they're not even familiar with some basic, you know, like...
the power button. Email. Looks like that.
Yes. Email.
I'm pointing to the universal symbol for power on my MacBook, the little half circle with the line.
Basic applications like PowerPoint, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And... that's, you know, that needs to be taught to them, and certainly they need a chance to play around with it.
The skills you learn for a word processor, Excel, and for a PowerPoint, that's not changing. It's, you know, it used to be the argument, oh, well, it's going to, you know, change so quickly and everything like that. No, PowerPoint has been the same basic idea since it started. Mm-hmm. You know, Excel has been, I mean, they add features and stuff, but it's the same basic idea, you know, the formulas and, you know, how to do things. It doesn't change that much that quickly. So they do need some of that basic stuff. But then really, I think it does need to be in the classroom, especially some of the more cutting edge stuff. And they do need to see it being applied in their math classes and their science classes and their English classes.
It needs to be used as a teaching tool in their courses. But
And in the course, the goal can't just be to teach them PowerPoint. I think that's a waste of educational time.
Absolutely. I completely agree with
that. Because I know that
was probably a poor example.
I've had teachers tell me that when, you know, PowerPoint first came along or they got it in the schools, mm-hmm. you know, all the teachers were doing lessons with PowerPoint, with having the kids do a PowerPoint. And, you know, they weren't very good presentations, and it was kind of just for the purpose of teaching PowerPoint. Well, that misses. Technology should be used to enhance what you're doing. If you're doing it just for the sake of getting them to learn the technology, that's not a good idea.
Right.
That's not a good idea.
Well, you know, some of the things that I know.
Unless it's a motivational thing. Right. Unless that's to spark their interest and that gets them going for the class. And that's a little different.
Yeah. Like, I know my mother teaches about, you know, different file types. Where are those file types stored? How do you transfer this to that?
And having a conceptual...
People don't know that.
Yeah, and having a conceptual model for, like, how that stuff works makes it all make much, much, much more sense in the long run.
And you pick up the technology easier after that.
Yes, because you need to have some of that background information and a basis before you can understand, you know, push email, you know, or something being stored online and then syncing up. Like, before you know that, you got to know how things work on the basic computer, which has not changed, you know, that much. File structures, we're starting to go online more and all that stuff and, you know, into the cloud, as Apple likes to call it. But still, most of what you do is stored on your computer. You know, I mean, you still need to know how file structures work. You might not have to ever dig through the files. If you have a good enough search engine, you know, desktop search engine, you might not have to be nice and file-oriented in that hierarchy, but it's still good to know where stuff is and how the computer does that, and it makes it troubleshooting better and everything else. I mean,
and teachers in the quote core subjects aren't going to be teaching that. They would assume that students already know that, or maybe they don't know it themselves. But students,
if there's not somebody responsible, and you make everybody responsible, unless some administrator's really hammering that topic, no one's going to do it.
Right. Well, I guess we kind of agree on this topic then.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, that I remember my technology classes going up through school, and they were a lot like my foreign language classes.
Hey,
I didn't have the best teachers, and it was very low level.
Right.
And I think that probably is a problem, that it doesn't appeal, you know, there's not enough critical thinking and problem solving in some of those classrooms. So, I think if you are a technology teacher, you need to make sure you are showing them how it's applied and taking it so that it is entertaining, interesting, and not just, here's your worksheet, do this Excel spreadsheet for something that a middle schooler cannot relate to at all. You know, have them go collect some data, you know, and you know, do something neat with it. So, and I'm sure lots of you are. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably an extremely motivated teacher, and we are preaching to the choir.
Yeah,
so.
Probably so.
Yep.
And there are plenty of wonderful foreign language teachers out there.
Yes, there are.
I have met several.
You're one.
Thank you.
I just remember doing worksheet after worksheet, and it was regurgitation.
Yeah. Well, and you don't speak that language.
And as a result, I don't speak that language. I had almost no interest in it. It's kind of like grammar. Grammar was the same way for me going through high school and middle school. Regurgitation, memorize these rules. It was just horrible.
That's a separate topic.
Yeah. As a result, my grammar's not the best. Correct, Holly?
That is absolutely correct.
I need a good editor.
I am that editor.
Okay.
In any case, I think
That about wraps it up.
Yeah.
Yep. You can check out the show notes at thetechteachers.blogspot.com for links to all of this stuff. I know we were throwing lots of Twitter words out there. We'll have links to all that. And you can add me on Twitter at twitter.com/psharkr, or just go to our blog and you can get to all my profiles, my YouTube stuff. Everything's there. Right.
And email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
And please keep supporting the show. We really appreciate it. And also vote on the iPhone apps. If we get enough no's, I will try not to ever talk about iPhone apps on the show.
Okay.
Or maybe just one in every 3 weeks.
We'll let you do one every now and then.
Only if the no's come flying in. If the yes's come flying in, we're going to have a little iPhone app segment. Please check out Shazam. If you don't have an iPhone, you need Shazam. I mean, if you have an iPhone, you need Shazam. Right, Holly? She agrees on this one.
It was pretty cool.
Coolest app ever, according to
Holly.
We already
talked about that, though.
Yes. So. Okay.
All right. So many of you are starting school
good
now.
Luck.
Good luck to you. And thank you very much for listening to our show.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.